Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thank you guys. All right, all right, all right, all right. I don't like it. Woo. Oh yeah, comedy club. All right, here we go. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. All right, I'm going to open up a prayer real fast. Thank you so much, God. I just feel like he's saying, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to open your eyes to new horizons, and I'm going to take you to places you never could dream of. And my heart for you will never stop beating, and you're going to see more of who I am. My heart, my passion for you, you're going to see more clarity of who I am and my heart for you. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much, Jesus, for tonight. Thank you so much for everybody here. Thank you so much, God, that we get to hear you, we get to be with you, and we just get to see you for who you truly are. As you pursue us in everything, God, and your love pulls us to where you are. We just thank you so much, God, for your grace and your kindness. And we just thank you so much for what you're doing. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, man. God is good. So this is the last Holy Spirit speech, preaching series, or not series, but you know. So I kind of just wanted to do a quick recap. You had Steve Slate. He spoke twice. And does anybody have any takeaways from Steve? Anybody remember anything? Anybody have notes? Anything? You guys remember Steve's the guy with the big beard? Yeah, okay.
He talked about honoring the spirit moving. A bird dog will go on point.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs will point where the first one pointed to.
Yeah.
So,
honor the point. Yeah. So good. So, man, amazing. Way to go, note taker. Anybody else? Anything? Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Good job.
He talked about how certain giftings of the Holy Spirit will then make way for other giftings to other believers who are in the room.
Yeah.
The
so good. Yeah. So good. Awesome. Good job. Some things I also had that, is that he also mentioned that in the Old Testament, the Spirit fell on, and the New Testament, you'll see the Spirit resides within. I believe you also talked about some manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Anybody remember any of those? Like, I think you talked about, like, falling over. You talked about the different kind of experiences. Anybody remember those? Tongues, healings, words of knowledge, those different areas and how the Spirit moves and stuff like that. Then we had Tim. That was 2 weeks ago. Man, it seems like forever ago. Is that just me? I'm like, what did Tim do? I don't remember. No. Tim had a great job, and he just had the invitation for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in people's life, and just in for the more. Anybody? I just wanted to open it up. Anybody have any testimonies or anything that from that night? Because we didn't really have an opportunity to recap after that, and so I just wanted to, open it up, see what's going on. Anything the Holy Spirit showed you from that night? Anything happen or whatever. Just want to. No. All right.
I was like, don't give me a microphone. Can I just do it without the microphone?
Okay. It's right here, though.
I was just going to share that one of the things that happened was that we all prayed for one another while we were here, and I had been sick for about 8 weeks. I had just really bad chest inflammation that would not go away. I've had my 3 rounds of steroids, and it was just here to stay. And it's totally gone.
So awesome. So awesome. So good. Did we also pray? Did anybody else have any healing from that night? I think we had a couple things going on. Healings?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, whatever, you know. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much. Oh, he loves you so much. He loves you so much. Thank you so much, God. You don't leave anything undone. And you finish it to the very end, and we just thank you so much, God. We thank you so much, Holy Spirit, right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for your grace and your kindness. All right. So good. Just love seeing it, how the Holy Spirit works. And through this whole process, it's kind of fun. So now, like, you have the Holy Spirit, you have this baptism of the Holy Spirit, and usually how we kind of aim things up is now, all right, you got the Holy Spirit in you. Now go out there, you're going to heal the sick, raise the dead, kick the devil in his face, and take names. And all that stuff's true. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to downplay it. But that's usually how we gear things up. The Holy Spirit comes upon you, you have this dunamis power. Now go out there and blow stuff up. And, you know, and it becomes a lot of, it's funny because when we also look at scripture, it also says it's all for naught if you don't have love. And that's where we're going to be hitting on tonight is love and how the Holy Spirit reveals you the Father's heart towards you and shows you how that, he reveals the love so that makes it possible for you to have the relationship and the intimacy that you're meant to have since the beginning of time, okay? So we're going to start off. Let's hop over to 1 Corinthians 13. If we're going to do love, got to hit the 1 Corinthians 13. All right. If I were to speak with elegance and earth's many languages, in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I did not express myself with love, my words would be reduced to a hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy, thank you, and profound understandings of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but never learned to love, then I'm nothing. And if I was to be so generous as to give away everything I owned to feed the poor and to offer my body as a martyr without pure motivation of love, I would gain nothing of value. This is huge. I mean, this just changes everything. This changes the whole thing. He's like, I don't give a... Oh, great. Great. You went out there and you healed 100 people and you... I mean, this is like the... In other words, this whole thing breaks down. It's like the biggest keynote speaker you could ever imagine. The Bill Johnson, the Chris Valentin, whoever, you put your name on it. This is that guy. This is the person that we took in Christian culture and elevated him to like closest person currently on earth that's like Jesus that we know of, right? And he's saying, hey, you know what? It doesn't mean anything to me if they don't have love. And just that to me just is such a humbling thing. Especially as we're going as a church, Wichita 100. Okay? Wichita 100. And that's, it changes the whole perspective on it because now it's not about, okay, I need to make sure I'm ready to go. I'm prepared up. I'm all ready to go. And now I'm going to go out and do all this stuff. It's a revelation of saying God has already did the 100. It's God's doing the 100. And now when we get lined up with love and we get in tune with him, we get to be a part of it. Does that make sense? It's not so much about you going and doing, but you being in love, being in this relationship with him, and from that relationship we move out from. Another way I've kind of put it down is when you look at the miracles, who does the miracles? Who does all the stuff? Who gives it to you? It's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit does. And so what I put down for that is, so if you're around the Holy Spirit and operate in him, but do not acquire his heart of love, we missed it. How many times have we done that where we see, like, you give a word and somebody comes up to you and is like, dude, that was such a great word. Way to go. That hit the spot. And then we're like, Oh yeah, it was pretty good. And then all of a sudden, it's just so funny. I'm not trying to downplay anything, but it's more like we do something, and it's so easy for us to get an identity outside of the love of God. because we did it. And it's like, hey, no, give words. Those are good. And I'm going to compliment you. But it's just like, hey, be careful. You know you. You know you and you know what's in here. And I'm saying, hey, double check it. Make sure you're not being like, you know what? I am going to be the church prophesier that everybody comes to, and that's where I kind of build myself into, you know, and or the church, man, like, you know what, if you need, like, healing, you need to go talk to Bradley over here, you know, like, and then we kind of build ourselves these kind of identities, and it's outside of the love of God, and that's what, to me, like, that's what so much of 1 Corinthians kind of hits on. It's like, no, God doesn't give a rip about it. He wants intimacy with you. If we look at Mark, I hit this verse a lot because it really just explains it. Mark 3:13. No, I hit the wrong button. Especially as we're getting to go into ministry. No, didn't hit it. Oh, man. Come on, new Bible app. Mark 3. It says, afterwards, Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to himself the men he wanted to be close companions, so they went up with him. He appointed the 12, whom he named apostles. He wanted them to be continually by his side as his friends, so that he could send them out to preach and to have the authority to heal the sick and cast out demons. It shows that, like, ministry is always based in intimacy. Jesus is going to call you up to the mountains before he ever sends you out. Does that make sense? This is where we move from. That's why love is such a crucial point of this whole thing, because it's like, until you get the revelation of love and you're walking in this thing, when you're just operating on you. Holy Spirit shows up because he loves people, but it's not, they're missing the key ingredient, which is love. So I got like a super dry mouth. This is getting kind of, Oh, you got one up there? That's, man, you're awesome. Did you already drink out of it once? I was hoping you say yes. Oh, great. Sorry, guys. Oh, man. Whew. Now, bear with me a sec. I just kind of feel like, I know, I kind of feel like everybody's just a little bit tired. Rainy weather. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much, God. All right. Thank you for your words. I don't want to rush it. It's kind of just want to make sure I'm not missing anything and going on a tangent. That's not where he wants me to be. All right. Thank you so much, God. So falling in love, it's all about falling in love. This whole thing is about falling in love and just being with him. And it also says that Jesus is coming back for his bride. Okay? He's not coming back for a doer. He's not coming back for somebody who did all the work for him. He did everything. And no, he's coming back for a bride. He's coming back for somebody that knows his heart. Somebody that's won his heart. Okay? I mean, and when we look at the Bible, we can see a lot of parallels between a Jewish wedding and just in the Bible and the process of, from Genesis all the way to Revelations, you see this big story of a wedding ceremony. And I kind of wanted to hit on a couple points. I'm not going to try to say it, the different Hebrew words for it. Everybody else is really good at it. But it has a fancy name, and it just really means it's a betrothal process. And that's that. And in the wedding ceremony process, man, I feel like I'm just kind of missing something. Let me make sure I hit this, because, yeah. In the betrothal process, this is the part where it's legally binding. Okay, at this point, it's legal binding. So this would be for us, this would be the part where we say, we come in faith, say, Jesus, I love you. I believe that you raised from the dead, and you bought me at a price. It's kind of like that part where now we're like, you've stepped into the covenant, and now you're operating in the new. But the cool thing about it is right after that, it's this next stage of the wedding. I'm not going to say it. But it's called the presents for the bride. And there's a whole bunch more I want you guys to go look at. It's in your homework. But the presents for the bride. And this is where the Holy Spirit in this whole process starts to show up. And if we go to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Wrong button. Man. It says, Jesus instructed them, don't leave in Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift I told you about, the gift the Father has promised. For John baptized you in water, but in a few days from now, I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And so, now we start taking the look at the Holy Spirit in the relationship to like a bride, to a wedding ceremony. Now it starts to come, it becomes more personal about what this character, what Holy Spirit is supposed to be involved in, okay? Because now we start seeing like, oh, wait, no. Man. Okay. Man, like when I practiced this, it was like really smooth. And now I'm just kind of feel like it's so empty and hollow in here. I hear crickets. But the Holy Spirit, when you put in a relationship of a wedding, now it starts to make more sense to me because it's not so much about, how do I say this? So Jesus, yeah. Because Jesus pays the price, and we know this. He pays the price for you, and then you see it, and you get the revelation of it, and you step into it. But then he says, you know what? I want you to be able to see the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit so that your life will always be marked. The Holy Spirit is the connector piece between you and God's heart. And that's where, to me, it's like that's where the whole thing starts to come together. The Holy Spirit is, he's here. Yes, he is power. Yes, he is all these things. But more importantly, he is your access point into the very heart of God. He's the one that can help you restores the intimacy between you and God so you can actually know the will and understanding of what God is doing. Why is he doing it? What does it mean? What do these scriptures mean? And how is he implying them to your life? It's Holy Spirit. He is the mechanism. He is the divine individual character God. However you want to put he is the one that connects you to the heart of God, and he's the one like that's if that's where you get the revelation of love. It's only when he shows you it. I mean, we've been preaching love for how long? How many times did we say Jesus loves you? How many times? I mean, you've heard your whole life. You probably said to a whole bunch of people, but yet your life hasn't really, like, but how many Christians, their life doesn't even reflect it? They're so bound up in junk. They're so bound up in the, oh, I've been a sinner my whole life, or entertainment, or how do I, my own self stuff, or my failures, or stuff like that. But we know this concept that Jesus loves you, but it's not manifesting in your heart. It's not manifesting in your life. And the Holy Spirit, I'm like, no, that's the key of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. And he's the mechanism at which, I'm trying to say mechanism, but you know what I mean? He is the being that connects you to the heart of God so you can see and understand who Jesus is and what he did for you. If you look at, let's go to 1 Colossians 2:10. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, he has revealed to us his innermost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. That's just so cool to me. The one that explores everything. He never stops exploring. He's always going deeper into God. He's always going deeper to everything. He never stops exploring. And he's the one that reveals everything to you. Okay, he's the one that shows you everything that's God's heart. So it's not like you have this character, Jesus, who did this act, and now we believe it, and we just emotionally believe it and walk through and kind of just go, yep, thank you, Jesus. But no, we have this Holy Spirit that reveals us and gives us understanding of what Jesus did. Gets the understanding of what he did for us and makes it so that our hearts can finally move with passion forward. Does that make sense? Is that clear? I missed the next couple of verses. For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to an understanding and experience all the grace has lavished upon us. So, you might give me a little, help me out a lot right now. I'm gonna get some stuff stirring. I just feel, yeah. Yeah, that is 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, 12, verse 12 through 14. Yeah. Did I say 1 Corinthians? I meant Colossians. I'm sorry. But I'm a liar. Oh, yeah. 1 Corinthians. I just wanted to test you guys. I know. First, because there is no first one. What on earth? So. You say 14. Mm-hmm. So this verse, this is what kind of shows you everything. He said, hey, I want you to know my heart. I want you to know every part of me. I don't want to hold anything from you. I don't want you to operate outside of my understanding of who I am. You see, you hear God's calling in you. It's like, hey, I don't want you just to go through this world and just kind of do. I want you to know my heart. I want you to know that when I saw you from the beginning of time and you got separated and you took sin, that I said, hey, you know what? Jesus, you need to go get him. Go get him. And then the whole time Jesus is like, can I go now? Can I go now? Can I go buy my bride back now? Can I go get her? Can I go get her? Can I go get her? I see. I know what she's done. I know what she's doing. I know all the mistakes. I know it all. But I need to go get her. She needs me. My bride needs me. She's worth it. She's worth it. And then finally Jesus is like, okay, now's the time. The stage is set. Now's the moment. Son, go. And he comes to earth and he lives perfectly. And he sits there and he looks and he's takes it all on. He never messes up. He never stops up. He never turns off love. And his whole process, the whole time he's here, he's just one. He's just so fixated on God and his relationship. It doesn't matter what men do. It doesn't matter all the junk that comes out. It doesn't matter all the unbelief, all the weird situations, all the craziness that they put in front of Jesus. He still loved. And he still is like, I don't care about any of it. But this person, who are Bob? And he's like, I love you. And he just lives so amazingly. And he sees you and he says, you're worth it. How many times do we sit there? And Jesus is like, we like picture Jesus kind of like, like he's on the cross hanging here. And he's like, oh, way to go, Brad. You jacked up again. Thanks a ton. You know, this hurts. This really hurts and it's not fun at all. You know, we kind of put you this guy, this thing on the cross that's kind of ticked off that he had to be there this whole time. You know, I'm so glad he's not like us. That thought never entered his head. It says, it's with the joy set before him. It's this joy set before him. He said, no, you're mine. And I love you. And I want you, and I don't want just want you. I want to be intimate with you. I want you to know my heart. I want you to see everything that I've done. I want to see every single scar because I bear them, and I hold my chest out with pride because you were worth it. I don't regret any of it. You are worth every single price. I mean, you're worth every single whipping. You were worth all the cursing. You're worth all the mankind saying that, you know, you're fake. You're a false prophet. All the name calling. Everything that they put on me. You're worth it. You're mine. And he pays the price. And then he says, you know what? Here's the Holy Spirit. You can wear it like a wedding ring. Wear it like a wedding ring. You're marked. You are mine. This world cannot claim you. This world cannot hold on to you. You are marked and the Holy Spirit has marked you and has set you apart. You're not of this world anymore. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. And his spirit convicts you. And you know the truth. That this system, this world does not make sense to you anymore. Because the love of God is resonating in you. At every moment, every second of every day. He's right there with you. And it moves your heart. The Holy Spirit he gets it so that the words, the stuff goes from here to hear. reality of what Jesus did for us is now living and alive in our hearts. I'm forever changed by the love of Christ, and there's no going back. There's no going back. When I look at these truths, and I look at these revelations, I usually see three common scenarios where people lose it, where they miss it. Usually it's, the first one is bad theology, sin conscience. Been raised, like probably most of us, or a lot of people, you grow up and you find out how worthless you are and how much, oh man, you're saved by, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Barely made it in. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. And that's about it. And we don't press into more. We don't even ask questions about the more of what the Holy Spirit, what God has for us. Because we already just find ourselves so worthless that we don't even ask the question for the more. God, what's your heart in this thing? Second I see is comparing. I see a lot of Christians, we compare. You'll see one person do something amazing and you compare yourself to them. I want to be like that. Go seek out God in it. It doesn't happen. You get so focused on the one thing and that you can't see all the stuff that God's doing because you're so focused here. It's like, God, you only love me if you answer this. If you only do this one thing. We limited everything that God can do because we're so focused on the one aspect that how we're going to receive the revelation, like how God loves us. We're so focused here that we miss everything else. And then at the point we're like, well, you didn't answer my prayer. I must not be that good. I must not have the faith. I must not be doing something right. It's my fault. I'm just not that good of a person, I guess. Or it's also happens from the pulpit too. You have the power to forgive. You have all these things, and we say, you know what, now you have the Holy Spirit, you have the dunamis power, you should be doing this, your life can be da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And for the public, we paint this picture of being able to love, how you're supposed to love, how you're supposed to forgive. And we paint this amazing picture, and it's Jesus. And we leave, and we're like, okay, all right, I can do this. And we go into it, and we're like, okay, I just need to love more. Okay. And all of a sudden, maybe our wife says something, or our kids do something, and we're like, hey, and we get on to them, like, oh, dang it, can't check that one off. Oh, my faith wasn't good. I kind of doubted God. I kind of got mad at my boss, or I don't know how he's going to take care of my finances because I'm straight broken. God, I just don't think he can do it. And we just start comparing to this picture, and we know that how many times we fail, and we're like, man, we don't even add up to this thing, and to the point where you realize, I'm just not that good, and I can't do it. And so we drop our expectations down to a neutral. We kind of just float through Christianity, and we just kind of go. God's good. Amen. He'll sometimes, he's sovereign. If it's his will, he'll do it. And we just float. And we never engage our hearts with the love of God. The last one I have down is the list maker. These are people that every one of these guys, I've done it all. I'm not picking on anybody here. I've done it all. You're welcome. I've done it all. This list maker. This is somebody that maybe a loved one or something traumatic. Sometimes things happen and they repress into God and they're like, God, I had all the faith. I put all my faith into it and it just didn't happen. And they kind of just, first time, they kind of just make a note of it, fail, like, didn't work out. We take this, like, situation, we kind of just keep track of inventory inside of here, and then maybe something else happens. A loved one might lose my job, marriage problems, and we kind of add it to the list. We kind of put it in, like, God didn't show up again. God didn't show up again. And through life and through our experiences, we end up creating this huge resume of all the times God didn't do what he said he would do. And now you're stuck in a pickle. because you have this whole thing of all your experiences, and you have a God sitting here on the cross. Say, I love you. I'm here the whole time, and I just love you. I just love you so much. And we miss it. We miss it. We miss it because we're so focused. We had so much. The list turned us into a Pharisee. The list turned us into somebody just like the man, the ways of this world. We look at Jesus and said, liar, false prophet, fake. The list, it was a lie from the whole get-go. Jesus, you're so good. We've done it. I've done it. Thank you, Jesus. That you never give up on me. Man, I was reading and I got hit by the Doubting Thomas. I really feel like that guy just got the bad end of the stick. Because, I mean, he's only in the Bible a handful of times, and it's like, you got to remember the guy that doubted. And now it's like, sorry, dude. So stinks, man. But I just love the story because I was sitting there thinking about these things that trip us up, these things that would distract us, that get us off our, just out of faith and with what God's doing. Here goes. One of the 12 wasn't present with Jesus when Jesus appeared. It was Thomas, whose nickname was the Twin. So the disciples informed him, "We have seen the Lord with our own eyes." Still unconvinced, Thomas replied, "There's no way. There's no way I'm going to believe this unless I personally see the wounds of the nails in his hands, touch them with my fingers, and put my hand into the wound in his side where he was pierced." Come on, man. That's who isn't? Yeah. Don't tell me I didn't do it. Don't tell me God, you know, he didn't show up. Or this one, I'm thinking more like, God, I'm so scared to believe again. I had these dreams that we would go and be together forever. And it was so fun while you're here. I never had a friendship like you. But also now you're not here and I don't want to put my heart back into it because I'm so scared to getting hurt again. I'm so scared of getting hurt. And I don't know, I'm not going to believe it. And then 8 days later, Thomas and all the others were in the house together. And even though all the doors were locked, Jesus suddenly stood there before them. "Peace, peace to you," he said. And he looked at Thomas. Ooh. And he said, "Put your fingers here in my wounds and put your hand here in my side and see for yourself, Thomas. Don't give in to your doubts any longer. Believe." Can you see that? I just love it so much. I don't think the story's not about Thomas. The story is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And then, hey, no matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, no matter what walls you have put up, no matter what situations you put in, no matter how minimal you've made me in your life, I can come through and I'm right here. Give me your hand. Stick them in. These wounds are real. This gap is real and it's for you. And I love you. Believe. Believe. I love you so much. See the extent Jesus will go for you to have faith, for you to be in relationship with him again. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. It wants to show you the extent of what Jesus will do to be with you. I don't care if you go the rest of your life and you save the whole world. I want you. I don't care. I don't care if you heal 100 people. I want you. I just don't care. I gotta have your heart. Here's mine. It's right here for you. Come take all of it. He loves you. He's crazy about you. And they're walking into this. This is what I love so much about it. It's so easy when you see his love. Because it's not about you anymore. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about what he's doing, look what he's done. And so when situations pop up, it's not about you and how it's affecting you. It's like, oh, my love. Oh, my love, you're the one that gave me life. Oh, you're the one that put life inside my heart when I was dead and I had nothing. I was a nobody. I was nothing and I was better off for dead. But you came and you spoke life into my heart and you made me something. So my wife, my family, my situations, my kids, God, thank you so much because you're coming. You love them more than I can ever imagine. You see, it's like now I can picture my God. He's so big and he's so awesome that he's going to crush all the things in my life with his love. The Holy Spirit is the one who's helped you see him for who he is. He loves you so much. There's nothing he won't go through. There's nowhere he won't go to get you. See it. Ah. So now when we go into intimacy, it's so much easier because now we move him from the place. We see him, and now all we get to do is respond. It's just a response. I don't walk into a church service. I don't walk into the front of the sanctuary on a Sunday and sit here like, all right, here we go. I'm going to get my praises on and jibber, just try to jumpstart something. No. 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 Never. Never. I get to look at him. I get to look at him. He was with me when my son was 2 days old in the hospital. He was with me, and he's like, Kyle, I got him. Don't you dare worry. I got him. And he did. He showed up. He did it. He was with me. He was with me every single time. And he shows me how to love my wife. He shows me how to love my kids. He shows me how to love my bosses and my coworkers. He is with me time and time again, and he's so faithful. I get to just respond. I don't have to work up Jack Diddley. I get a life of my love. He's my love. He's my bride. He's mine. And I get to walk into it. Like, I don't do it. I get to be with him. And I love him. It's a response. It's a response. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about what he's doing and what he's done for you. And live from there and run. And run. Don't look back. Jump into that bad boy and run. This world's got nothing. You guys been here. We've been doing this, been in this world for quite a while, guys. It stinks. It has nothing. It has nothing. And then now you got Jesus. Why? Why try to coexist? Why? Why try to coexist with this bad boy? Why? Grab him. Fall in love. And live. Live. Your heart was meant to be alive. It was not meant to be worried about every little thing. All the silly stuff. Your heart was never meant for that. It was meant to live with the reality that God's going to take care of it all. He loves you so much. He's going to take care of it all so you can live. Thank you so much, Jesus. All the other stuff he can put it aside. He just wants to reveal to you how much he loves you. And everything else will fall in place. Everything else will fall in place. Oh, Jesus. Sorry, we didn't really plan this very well. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for Kyle and the testimony of your goodness through him. we honor Jesus, we honor you through through getting to see the picture of what you've shared through Kyle tonight. So Holy Spirit, we come to be, to receive, to taste and see that you are good. We open up our pores to just let you transfer yourself into us more, and let you come out of us more. Space and of your presence in the people that you're showing yourself around us. So we just open ourselves up to love, to be loved, to give love, receive love, and we just feast on you, Holy Spirit, as we go into worship. We feast on you and let you nourish our hearts, renew our souls, activate our spirits. We just let you. I just release that over us. Let him kiss me, like it says in Song of Songs. Let him kiss me. And we just welcome you to love us. And we love you because you first loved us. Thank you, Jesus.